Our opening words this morning are by Laura Wallace. As frozen earth holds the determined seed, this sacred space holds our weariness, our worry, our laughter, and our celebration. Let us bring seed and soul into the light of thought, the warmth of community, and the hope of love. Let us see together, hear together, love together. Let us worship. Our words for chalice lighting and Advent wreath lighting this morning are by David Breeden. Advent, Adventus, means waiting, and the holiday season is nothing if not waiting to get done the chores, to find the right gift, to find time for quiet moments, to accept that our loved ones will not be as we wish them to be. We will light the chalice this holiday season, this time of waiting, to remind ourselves to enjoy the moment, the now of our lives. Yes, much is coming, and always we wait, but those things to come will also be now when they come. This second Sunday of Advent, we light the flame in hope that darkness will be dispelled. In this holiday season, may the darkness of winter be dispelled by the festival of lights, and may the darkness of ignorance be dispelled in the strength of compassion, of reason, and of sharing. Please rise in body or in spirit and join in our opening hymn, number 55, Dark of Winter. Please join in our covenant and affirmation. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Tonight is the seventh night of Hanukkah, and so we are taking some time in our service this week to celebrate Hanukkah. And you can see up in front of you that we have menorahs here, Hanukkiahs. A menorah is any sort of candelabra. A Hanukkah menorah is a Hanukkiah. And it has one more candle because of the miracle of Hanukkah, that the oil that was supposed to be only enough oil when they rededicated the temple after reclaiming it after a rebellion, they lit the candle not knowing if it would last while they went to, in search of more oil. And it was only enough for oil for one day, but it lasted for eight. And so the light that was supposed to be only just enough light for now lasted as long as it was needed. So I'm going to read a story for Hanukkah. This is a book titled While the Candles Burn by Barbara Diamond Golden. And this particular story is based on a story by the Yiddish writer I.L. Peretz, who lived from 1852 to 1915. It's titled Life is Like a Dreidel. On Hanukkah, we spin the dreidel round and round and hope that, with luck, it will fall on the letter Gimel. Then we take all. The world, too, spins round and round like a top or a dreidel, and we never know how our luck will fall. Will we be rich or poor, wise or foolish, respected or slandered, or maybe rich one day, poor the next? Who knows? This story I'm going to tell you is not about dreidels. It's about a Hanukkah lamp. And not a fancy Hanukkah lamp, not one made of silver or gold, just a little brass Hanukkah lamp, and a broken one at that. Passed down from so many parents to so many children that it was a little bit twisted and leaned on its side. You could barely tell that there were lions carved at its base or birds singing in its trees, but listen carefully and you will hear how all this about dreidels fits into the story about Hindi and the Hanukkah lamp. To start with, Hindi's family was poor. She had a mama and a papa and a little brother named Model and not a whole lot else. Hindi's papa bought a little of this and sold a little of that, and that's how he made his living. But as things change and spin, Hindi's papa bought some old iron bars from a soldier for a few pennies. And after cleaning the bars, her papa saw that they shone like gold. They were gold. And everything began to turn around for Hindi and her family. First, her mama and her papa threw the old things out, the furniture, the clothes, the books. They stripped the house bare and bought all new fancy things. This junk won't do for us anymore. Mama took Hindi and Model to the fancy dressmakers and tailors and ordered some fine new clothes and to a real barber for a haircut. Hindi hardly recognized herself or her papa and mama or even Model. And one day, Papa took the children out of their tiny old schools and in their teachers' houses and into new schools. Hindi had to walk all alone. None of her friends could afford to go there. Even worse, her friends barely could talk to her. They were so jealous of her expensive new things. At home, it was no better. Hindi could barely sit on the new fancy furniture. The chairs with the gold braid and twisted little legs on the wheels ran away from her. Papa had no time for anything anymore, not even the holy books. He was always running here and there for the business. And Mama stopped fattening Hindi and Model up with her apple cakes and honey cookies, nor did she read to them from her Bible anymore. She was just busy having ladies to tea. And the new hired cook, she wouldn't let them near her kitchen. But the world is always spinning in cycles, just like a dreidel. See where this fits in? And before too long, everything began to turn upside down for Hindi's papa. The business floundered. The bills piled high, and Hindi's family was poor again. They went back to their old schools. Their clothes became shabby. Mama went back to cooking for them and feeding them and reading stories in her Bible. Hindi was happy, Model too, but Mama and Papa were not. They looked sad and worried. And soon it was Hanukkah. And Hindi bought some Hanukkah candles with her money. She started earning running errands in the marketplace. But it was not enough for a new Hanukkah lamp. We must have thrown our old one outside, Mama. It was broken like all our old things. And then Hindi remembered Papa throwing the old broken Hanukkah lamp on top of the oven. When Mama was out in the yard, Hindi whispered to Model, "Psst, help me." And quietly, Hindi put a chair on top of a table, and she and Model pushed and shoved it over to the oven. And Hindi climbed on top of the rickety pile of furniture while Model held the chair to the table. And Hindi found lots of things up there above the stove and threw them all down to Model. Dented old wine cups and silverware, chipped saucers and ancient playing cards, and, to their great joy, the Hanukkah lamp. how dirty everything was, months and months of dust and dirt, and they called Mama out to see. "You imps," she cried with a grin, "what have you found? And I thought we had thrown it out." And Mama took out the polish, and they worked on the lamp, and even though one of the candle holders was twisted and leaned on its side, the lamp still looked beautiful. The lions carved in its base laughed, and the birds in its lush trees sang with the joy of the holiday. Every night, Hindi and Model and Mama and Papa gathered around the little lamp, chanting the blessings and lighting the lights, singing the old songs and spinning the dreidel. And then it was the eighth night. They gathered around their lamp again, but this time their singing was interrupted by a knock on the door. Who could it be? Hindi went over to open it, and Baruch, a man who bought things from Papa, walked in. "What is it?" Papa said. We are lighting the Hanukkah lights. "I'm sorry," Baruch said, "but I have a crazy man here, and I know how much you need money, and he's from the big city, in England no less, and you won't believe this, he buys broken down things for high prices, all kinds of things. Should I bring him in?" "I'm sure we can find something to show him," said Papa. And the Englishman walked right in. He caught sight of their little crooked Hanukkah lamp on the table, the dented old wine cups and silverware, the chipped saucers, and ancient playing cards, and wanted to buy them all, just like that. "I told you he was crazy," whispered Baruch. And they sold him everything except their broken little lamp. After all, it was still Hanukkah, and the candles were still burning. The Englishman paid them handsomely for their old things. Why, they do not know, but we do. They were bound for a glass case in a London museum. And as the world spins round and round, and things turn round, the Englishman's coins proved lucky. Papa's business grew, and they were rich once again. But this time, Papa and Mama did not throw everything away. They kept the old things and the old ways along with the new. They kept the old things. And as for the Hanukkah lamp, well, they kept it polished and shining bright, even when it wasn't Hanukkah. The end. So now I'm going to invite forward a number of families from our congregation who have brought their Hanukkahs here today so that they can light them if they wish. So come on forward, folks. I wanted you to notice, too, when we sing the children out, too, you can come around and see them, that we have all these different Hanukkahs here, and they represent the diversity in our congregation. We have a number of Jewish families in our congregation, and the Hanukkahs are as different as each and every person is, and so it's just a wonderful joy to see them all up here this morning. Come on up, folks. Job. These words for prayer or meditation are by Wayne B. Arneson. Spirit of life, the beginning of the holiday season is filled with temptations to conspicuous consumptions and pleas for generosity. The contrasts between the values represented by this time of year and our ability to fulfill them remind us how great the distance can be between aspirations and actions. This month has begun with the observance of World AIDS Day, and Human Rights Day follows next week. They remind us of those at home and abroad who are imprisoned by disease, poverty, and discrimination. The messages of liberation, dignity, and joy that come with Hanukkah and with Christmas are hard to hear unless they are conveyed by gracious acts of outreach to those who suffer. Our prayer this day, then, is that we may be gentle with ourselves and with others as we do our best to navigate through the tricky shoals of December. May we avoid being so distracted with our own problems and duties this year that we forget the wider web of life of which we are a part. May we go round about our rounds of preparations and festivities with a light heart and with boundless patience. May the dissatisfactions that are part of our lot be our companions, but not our masters, as we cross the holiday threshold. And may all the joys of the season be ours this time around. Amen. Blessed be. Amen, amen, ashe. So, it says in our order of service that Elvis is singing now. Okay, cumulative Elvis. If you enjoy sing-alongs and ukuleles, our Ukitarian group meets third Wednesdays at 7 in the youth room, and there's always space for one more to be singing along and room for one more ukulele. It is the dark, still, quiet, cold time of the year. And we have people we know in our lives, perhaps many of us ourselves, who have a hard time at this time of year. Perhaps this is one of the services you can find most helpful, or perhaps those who would find it most helpful stay at home. But if this doesn't apply to you, there's probably someone in your life to whom it does. And I invite you to think about them this morning. There are a lot of reasons why people struggle through the holiday season. First of all, there are those who suffer from seasonal affective disorder, and the decreasing light and increasing level of darkness bring a level of struggle that can be hard for those who don't experience it to fully understand. Bless you. And then there are people who suffer from mental illness, and the holidays and all of its stressors can create additional pressures on that state of mind that make it harder at this time of year as well. Next, we have people who have anniversaries of death of loved ones at this time of year that may sharpen their experiences of winter. And then there are the newer losses, where this is the first holiday without a loved one, or even this is the first holiday when you're losing a loved one. Then there are other things that make December difficult for some. There are people for whom this brings up the trouble that they've had with their families as people around them talk about holiday family plans. For people struggling financially, this is a particularly difficult time with children's expectations running high and family and social commitments and expectations. For those dealing with pressures of addiction, alcoholism, this too is a time that brings along with it many triggers. And then there are the cultural events we remember and mark. We just passed World AIDS Day, at which we remember the lives we've lost to HIV/AIDS. Right around the corner is the anniversary of the school shootings at Sandy Hook, now 6 years ago, but still fresh for those who are connected. 3 years ago in December was the San Bernardino shooting, where 16 people died. And as we head into this season when we are supposed to be cheerful and full of joy and ho-ho-hoing, the world of sorrows can hang heavy on our shoulders. We're still breaking apart refugee families at our border, even as we celebrate the age-old story of a baby whose parents, right after his birth, had to flee from Bethlehem to Egypt to avoid a corrupt and violent state. We have a good cultural example of what it's like to have a blue Christmas or a blue holidays in the character of George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, one of our most beloved and classic of Christmas movies. In it, we have a man facing financial ruin, facing possible imprisonment, and he reaches a point where he's sure the world would be better off without him and considers taking his own life. I wasn't someone who personally understood what it meant to have a blue Christmas until 5 years ago in the first week of December. It was 5 years ago this past week that my former congregation lost a former member and her 14-year-old son in a domestic violence shooting. The woman and the child were people I had known for years, ministered to, and my child had played with their younger child. They went to each other's birthday parties, and he was suddenly an orphan, having lost both parents and an older brother in one horrific act of violence. Their memory has been with me the first week of December ever since. We gloss over, as a culture, those hard parts of the stories sometimes, the part of the Hanukkah story that's about rebellion, about war, about loss and suffering, and jump right to the Festival of Lights. In this Christmas story, we jump from where the Magi, well, we end right after the Magi come, and we skip the next part of the story, because after the Magi leave, King Herod kills all the male children in Bethlehem under the age of 2. The chapter that tells of the star and the wise men ends with a lament. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. Here in the darkest time of the year, Mary and Joseph are fleeing to Egypt. Children are being killed, and Rachel is weeping for her children. And in this most wonderful time of the year, with its parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow, it can be difficult when you are singing another tune in your heart. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth to all. Goodwill. So if you're having a blue Christmas this year, or a blue holiday, or a blue Hanukkah, although that doesn't really work metaphorically because blue is the color of Hanukkah. But if you're feeling blue this season, the main thing I have to say is honor that feeling. That's the primary message here, that this is a normal response to the holidays. And just because it's not reflected back to you on your Starbucks cup doesn't mean it's not a reasonable thing to be feeling this way during the holidays, particularly if your blue mood comes from loss, from death, from family separation of any sort, from hardship of any sort, or from seasonal depression or other depression. But simply honoring your feelings is by no means sufficient if you are struggling with a depression at a deeper level. And if you feel like this describes you, I always recommend counseling, and I'm happy to work with people individually to find the right professional to talk to. But if you're dealing with blues in a lighter way, the main thing to do is to acknowledge the source of the sorrow, to acknowledge your feelings and the very realness of them. Honor it. Remember your loved one and mourn if it's a loss that is making you feel sorrow. Acknowledge your troubles. They are real. They are valid. There's no supposed to about this time of the year. Some of our Christmas carols acknowledge the sorrow in this season. In We Three Kings, the final verse looks ahead to Jesus' death instead of just celebrating his verse. It says, "Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb." And that's where the hymn leaves us, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Now, Mike pointed out to me that our Unitarian Universalist hymnals reorder the verses so that they land on Gold's happier notes. We are not good sometimes as a people with staying with the sorrow. We like to jump right over Good Friday to the resurrection. Another carol that speaks of the sorrow of the season is, of course, the beloved "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," which says, "Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. And implores us, oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing." So the sorrowful side of the season is there if we look deep enough. If we look deeper into Hanukkah, we see war, we see struggle, we see oppression in the original story. If we look into deeper into the solstice rituals, we see the struggle with the waning light, the death of the Holly King, and the hope and prayer for light to come back into the world when it has not yet come. Much of the deeper message of the holidays, in fact, is telling us how to cope with the struggle, how to build resilience and resistance. Our one good tactic for building resilience is to be involved with supportive communities. So let this church be that for you. Bring your struggle with the season here, and don't feel just like because we're having holiday parties and cookie exchanges, all of which are good and fun and important, and I love them. Don't let that stop you from sharing your true sorrow. So when someone asks, "How are you here at church?" give them the true answer, not just the perfunctory "fine," and tell them you struggle at this time of year. Let church be a place for building true and deeper community for yourself and for each other. And the other thing to do when dealing with the holiday blues is to remember that underneath the glitter, underneath the wrappings and the ribbons, underneath the sparkle and the shine of the holiday season, there is another message. And that message is about getting through the darkness. It's about, at this darkest time of year, putting that Hanukkah in the window or putting your holiday candles in the window and letting it shine to the world. It's about knowing that there will be a spring when the winter comes, that there will be a day after the longest night, that even after the horrific events of Herod, there will come a messenger of peace. That even with the war and the strife, lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years shall come the age of gold, when peace shall over all the world its ancient splendors fling, and the world give back the song which now only the angels sing. Lastly, another thing to do when finding resilience amidst the blues is to cultivate some optimism, some joy, some celebration, some fun. Make some small part of this holiday spirit into a spiritual practice. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go all ho-hoing and whole decorating diva, but it means place a candle in a dark place. Add a little shine somewhere to remind you that there is light in the darkness. The darkness ends. Find a way to bring those things that bring you joy around you. Maybe some of it is experiencing a little dark humor of Christmas. And if so, I recommend to you the very recent list of 100 Christmas songs ranked from worst to best by Alexandra Petrie in the Washington Post. I won't give up the results because they're very humorous. And if for those who have friended me on Facebook, which you're all welcome to do, I've posted that list this morning. I will say that she starts off with my least favorite Christmas song, which is The Little Drummer Boy. And she has a particular hatred for any onomatopoeia in songs. So any song that's pa-rum-pa-pum-pa-pumming, or ding-dong-ing merrily, or ring-a-ling-linging, or thumpity-thumping, or even click-click-clicking is right out in her book. And she points out, since when did we all agree that up on the housetop reindeers make a click-click-click noise? Really? Reindeers? Wouldn't they make the thumpity-thump-thumping? Right? And Frosty. Frosty, she goes on this whole rant about, why is he leading children out into the street and disobeying traffic laws? However you find your joy and wherever you find your joy this season, I hope it does increase. And in the end, if you are in the dark night of the soul now, do know that the returning of the light is just around the corner. If you find yourself in despair or grief, treat yourself gently. Know that this too will pass. Reach out for help when you can. For that is what we are here for. All of us here for, to create religious community. And one of the deep purposes of religious community is that we spend our joys together so that we have each other in our sorrows. Reach out to one another, call out your friend's name, and they'll come running, to quote old 70s lyrics. There are times when we might forget just exactly what it is that brings us here. But now, in the darkest times, we remember. We are here to comfort one another when we mourn. We are here to mourn together. We are here to try to make a difference, to choose to bless the world, to walk the path of love and justice, and to hasten those days on that only the angels now sing of. For we know that the season isn't just about sleigh bells and presents. It's not just about snowmen and mistletoe. The message of the season is that miracles are possible, that light exists under the darkness, that there is goodness, and that peace is possible. So let the wild bells ring out. Let the glitter and the tinsel and the ornaments shine. Let the candles glow in our windows, and let the oil of gladness dissolve all mourning. Let us live in a moment, if only one breathless moment, of anticipation and wonder that a child could be born on a cold winter's night in a long-ago land, and that regardless about what you believe about his birth and what you believe about his life and what you believe about his death, a child was born who would call us to remember the impossible, to remember the perfect, the whole, and to strive towards it always and once again. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from day to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth to all goodwill. Merry Christmas, Hanukkah Sameach, and happy holidays. Please rise in body or in spirit and join in my favorite bleak Christmas carol, In the Bleak Midwinter, number 241. It's a beautiful poem by Christina Rossetti. Our words for benediction come from the Reverend Douglas Taylor. Regardless of how broken we may feel, or scattered, or lost, we are connected with all that is. Indeed, the brokenness and heartache, the pain and suffering is a signal of our connectedness and our compassion. Faith is like the reserves we store up in our basements for the winter, back when winter really meant something more than it does today. When the night grows long and dark, and the wind blows hard and cold, remember your reserves. Remember to reach down into the basement of your heart and find there, in the small and broken places, the pieces that carry you through the worst of times. And remember to reach out to the companions with you. Take heart, though we feel lost and we fly blind, we are not alone.